Thank you. Good morning again, everyone. It's a privilege and a blessing and honor to be here with you all and to look into God's Word together. And hopefully each one of us can be encouraged to be more faithful witnesses of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe that every healthy believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can be empowered by the Holy Spirit of God to be an active witness in our Lord's harvest. And the purpose of this workshop is to encourage every saint and equip every believer to share the gospel more faithfully and consistently. The command is clear, but how can we do so in our daily lives? Why and how should we be motivated to develop a lifestyle of evangelism? Lord willing, we'll be talking about some of those themes and more during our hour ahead of us here. If you have your Bible, please open up to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Thank you for coming to this workshop. Today we won't have opportunity to go through all of the outline in your handbook in detail. You might have noticed it begins on page 39. But Lord willing, we will touch down on some highlights and hopefully cover some very practical points that may be of blessing and encouragement to you. Lord willing, at the end, we will have some question and answer time, as well as after everything's wrapped up and after the prayer time this morning, if anyone's still wishing to talk some more or have further questions, Lord willing, there may be opportunity on a more individual basis for that. Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 35. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion." I wonder, when we see people, are we moved with compassion? Like our Lord was moved with compassion? May we ask the Lord to give us compassion, His compassion for others. My physical eyesight is not perfect. That's why I have glasses on. Pretty obvious, right? But may the Lord help us to have His perspective spiritually, so that when we see people, we see them with their spiritual needs, in need of the Savior, in need of the great shepherd of the sheep, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as God helps us to see people as He sees them, may we be moved with compassion, not only to pray for them, but to be willing to reach out with the gospel, whether with the gospel tract, whether with our words, however our Lord may lead us to do so. The Lord Jesus was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Because he was moved with compassion, he acted. He did something to meet the needs of the people around him. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful." Do you believe that the harvest is plentiful? Do you believe that God can save souls in 2023? Do you believe that God can use you to help lead others towards faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this year? God can do it. I believe He's willing. I believe He's able. Are we willing to believe and to trust Him that He can use you and He can use me as His witnesses in the world this year, in this generation, to reach the younger and older alike by His grace and for His glory? Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few." Are you willing to be a laborer for the Lord Jesus Christ? Whether you're a student, whether you're working a job, whether you're a young child, whether you're retired, God can use you. I remember the words of a brother by the name of Arthur Garnes. I believe he was the first black plastic surgeon in America. And he said, "Don't retire, refire." And his plan from even when he went to medical school, I believe, was that once he was able to retire from medicine, that he could give his time fully to serving the Lord. And that's what he did. And the Lord gave him opportunities as a doctor as well, praying with his patients. And I believe he was an elder in a local assembly, I think in Maryland. God can use you, whatever your job, whatever your profession, whatever God's calling you to do, the Lord can use you as His witness if we're willing. And if we're willing to seek His help and direction, how to do that for His glory. The solution. The Lord Jesus said, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. God wants us, I believe, even this year to be praying that the Lord will send out laborers into His harvest. And as we pray, may the Lord help us to be willing even to be those laborers as the Lord may enable and help us and call us by His grace to do so. Into His harvest. It's the Lord's harvest. It's the Lord who needs to be working in us to will and to do for His good pleasure. It's God who should receive the glory for what He does, because without Him we can do nothing, but with Him all things are possible. And God calls us to be laborers in His harvest. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it talks about sowing the seed morning and evening because we know not what will bring forth the fruit. May the Lord help us to sow bountifully so that we may reap bountifully in the gospel by God's grace and for His glory. Let's take a look also at John chapter 4, briefly, John chapter 4. John chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. The Lord Jesus' disciples had gone to get food. They brought back food. In verse 1, they said to the Lord Jesus, Rabbi, eat. But He said to them, verse 32, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought Him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work. That which satisfied the Lord Jesus, that which He desired, was to do the will of the Father who sent Him and to finish His work. May it be your desire, may it be our desire to do the work that our God has called us to do. And may we find great satisfaction in fulfilling the will of God in our lives. Verse 35, Jesus said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Recently we moved to frostproof Florida. It's surrounded by orange groves. It's about 4 months until the orange harvest begins. Yet there's a spiritual harvest that's ongoing. And every day I believe the Lord is saving souls, many souls, all around the world. And God is at work and He wants to use you and He wants to use me. Are we willing to be used of the Lord for His glory? Now, verse 36. Jesus said, and he who reaps receives wages. There's reward for serving the Lord. And gathers fruit for eternal life, that both the one who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. God is at work in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Different individuals have been laboring, sowing the seed of the word. And God calls you and I to be involved in that process. And by His grace, we may be involved in seeing the Lord bring forth harvest for His glory. Souls putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then let's take a look briefly at Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Lord Jesus, shortly before ascending up into heaven, He spoke these words to His disciples. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That promise of the Lord Jesus was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit was sent on the day of Pentecost. The disciples, they spoke up and witnessed about the Lord Jesus. Thousands were saved that day. And the book of Acts records how the gospel then went out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. Notice how the Lord Jesus told the disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." The power to be witnesses of our Lord Jesus, it comes from God, not from us. So we don't need to be concerned if we've felt shy or timid in the past, because the power for witnessing doesn't come from ourselves. So we shouldn't look to ourselves for the sufficiency. As it says in Corinthians, that our sufficiency is of God. It's not of ourselves. And so the Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus as we submit and surrender to God. But then notice also how the Lord Jesus said, "You shall be witnesses to me." Notice he didn't just say, "You shall witness about me." But he said, "You shall be witnesses." That's our life as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine a case of life and death, a court case, and someone is called up to the stand to witness. And imagine the witness does this. What good is that witness? Somebody's life is a danger. People's eternity is in danger. Without the Lord Jesus, the wrath of God abides upon them. And our God calls us to be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just evangelistic events that we are to be part of, but our entire life is to be a witness of our Lord Jesus. By what we think, by what we say, by what we do, by our attitudes, by the compassion and the love that our God shows through us, it's all to be a witness of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. One has said, "Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks." So we're not only to speak about our Lord Jesus, but our lives, as we were just hearing, are to be the fragrance of Christ to believers and unbelievers alike, that they would see Him in and through our lives. Another said, "Your life speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying." So we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice to God, so that we're seeking to live as His servants, as His witnesses, moment by moment and day by day. One brother, mightily used of the Lord, said, "Success in evangelism is doing your best in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God." Success in evangelism is doing your best in the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results up to God. You and I, in and of ourselves, we cannot save souls, but God can. And He calls us to be involved in the process, sharing His Word with others, His Word by which people can have eternal life, His Word by which people can grow in their faith. There's a little boy about 2 years old being used of the Lord in passing out a gospel tract. I'm corrected, he was 1 year old at the time. And so if the Lord can use a one-year-old who hasn't yet put his faith in the Lord Jesus, can God use you? God can use you. If we're willing to be humble, to humble ourselves and say, "Lord, please use me by your grace." Here are just a few statistics from the Barna Group. Have you heard of the Great Commission? Among church growers, 51%, sadly, had not heard of the Great Commission, according to their statistics. And in the more and more recent generations, fewer and fewer individuals had heard of the Great Commission. U.S. teens, the vast majority, about two-thirds of them, said that they had not ever received training to do evangelism. I believe every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should receive training to do evangelism. And I think you believe that too, and hopefully that's why you're here today and why you've perhaps been a part of similar things in the past. This to me is very sad. Among their research, they found that only 11% of those who claim to be Christians actively sought out or created, as it were, opportunities to share their faith. I believe that should be 100%. I believe all of us, even daily, should be praying that God would give us opportunities to share the gospel, and then watching for those opportunities and seeking help from the Lord by His power to take up and use those opportunities for His glory. What is the gospel? The gospel is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is the only way of salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave His life a ransom for all. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. People need to hear the gospel. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be saved. They need to be born again, as the Lord Jesus said. The message is unchanging. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose from the dead according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by the 12. He was seen by hundreds at once. He was seen by the apostle, by Saul, who we've come to know as the apostle, is Paul. The message of the gospel, the historical facts of the gospel, are unchanging. And it's important that we share those facts with others so that they can understand that we have a problem called sin. That God provided the solution. He sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. He died for our sins, was buried. He rose from the dead, proving that God was satisfied with the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made so that we could be forgiven. In Acts chapter 20, Paul there was speaking to the elders from Ephesus. And in Acts chapter 20, it records some of his words there to them. I'll pick up in verse 19. He speaks about serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house. Where can we share the gospel? Publicly and from house to house. Testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel includes repentance and faith. Repentance, a change of mind towards God, realizing that we need the Savior. We need the Lord. We need the salvation that He's offering us. And we need to be saved by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God tells us in His Word, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We receive new life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life to be lived for our Lord and Savior. The Great Commission. God calls us to proclaim the gospel. Do you remember those words of the Lord Jesus? When after rising from the dead, before He ascended into heaven, He told the disciples, "Go." And here was the command, "Make disciples." That's a literal translation of the Greek word there. Make disciples of all nations, all the ethnic groups, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you remember those words of our Lord Jesus? The Great Commission, also recorded in Mark chapter 16, in verse 15. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach or proclaim the gospel, the good news, to every creature. Who does God want to hear the gospel? Every creature. So when we see someone, we don't need to think, is this someone who God wants to hear the gospel? Because God wants every creature, every person, to hear the gospel. The unchanging resources. God Himself to empower us, to fill us with His Holy Spirit, to enable us. God's holy word, His eternal word, which will not pass away, including the gospel itself. The Lord working in hearts and lives, helping people to come to the point of submission and surrender faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit of God, He works in unbelievers to convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. But I believe God wants to use you and me in that process. How is that possible? Well, the Holy Spirit comes alongside people to help them. And God also wants us, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to come alongside people to help them. Notice what it says there in John chapter 16, beginning with verse 8. The Lord Jesus, speaking about the Holy Spirit, said, "And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me." How can God use you and I in this process? Sharing scriptures with people about our sinful condition and our need for salvation. And God, by His Holy Spirit, as His Word is shared, can convict people of their sin. Of sin because they do not believe in Me. Convicting them also of their need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Of righteousness because I go to My Father. And we can share with people about the perfection of our Lord Jesus and the need to be justified, declared righteous through faith in Him. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. And so as we share God's word with people, God can work in them by the power of His Holy Spirit, convicting them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. The Lord, in a sense, He doesn't need us, and yet He wants to use us. He calls us to be His witnesses. Spiritual preparation. Spiritual preparation. Why should we share the gospel? As you know, God is at work in us as believers to conform us to the image of Christ. God is love. And so God wants His love to work in and through us back towards God in loving obedience to His commands to go forth with the gospel, and in love towards the people in the world around us, bringing to them the gospel they desperately need in obedience to our Lord Jesus' great commission, those commandments we were just reading about going with the gospel. As the Lord's servant witnesses, it's important for us to prepare spiritually, to submit and surrender to the Lord, even as it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. How many of you do morning exercises when you get up? Sometimes I do some morning exercises. Oftentimes, even before I get out of bed, I do some morning exercises. I do some 1-2, 1-2. But it's actually from Romans chapter 1, 2, verses 1 and 2. So oftentimes, even before I get out of bed, and I'd encourage you to maybe do this, to do some morning exercises, maybe even before you open your eyes, and to take Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and turn it into a prayer. And say something like this to the Lord: "Heavenly Father, please help my body to be a living sacrifice, set apart to You, acceptable to You, which is my reasonable service." And help me, Lord, today not to be conformed, not to be pressed into the mold of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing, by the renovation of my mind, so that I can prove what is your good and acceptable and perfect will in my life. That's making it practical, like our brother was talking about, right? Where it's not just something we believe, but something that God uses to transform our lives as we submit and surrender to Him. And the Lord wants to bring about that transformation in our lives. As we spend time with the Lord day by day, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord as we read God's Word, and then being transformed from glory to glory by the Spirit of our God. So that when people see our lives, they can see and hear the fragrance of Christ as we live as His witnesses. God wants us to be holy servants, vessels of honor, ready for our Master's use. If you're looking to serve a guest in your home, do you go into the kitchen sink or the dishwasher that hasn't been run to grab out some dishes to serve them? Of course not. I don't want to even offend you by having you think that I think you'd do such a thing. But our God also, He wants to use holy vessels, pure vessels, cleansed vessels, you and me, cleansed, ready for our Master's use, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And God wants us to have the mind of Christ. Just briefly about that, a few aspects to highlight about the mind of Christ. What is God's desire? As it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, God desires for all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you desire for your coworkers to be saved? Do you desire for your neighbors to be saved? Do you desire for strangers that you're behind in the line at the grocery store to be saved? May that be our desire. May our desire be like God's desire, having the mind of Christ, desiring for all to be saved. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it talks about God's will, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is that our desire, that nobody would perish? Not even terrorists on the other side of the world? May we be praying for them. God can use them. Remember that terrorist, you might say, whose name was Saul, but who was transformed by the Lord Jesus and used as a mighty missionary of God, through whom the Lord allowed much of the New Testament scriptures to be written, Paul? God can still save souls, transform lives for His glory. May we be not be willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to work His love in and through us. In Romans 5, it talks about how the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. And we know the greatest commandment is that, the first commandment, that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. We're to live our lives with first love towards our God. And then the love of God is to flow through us out to others as we share with them about our loving Savior, who wants to save them, who wants them to be forgiven. We've talked about the Great Commission, and so that should have an important role in our minds as we seek to obey our Lord in this age, in this generation, in this part of God's plan of history, that His people be His witnesses here upon earth. We talked about God's compassion, God's energetic power in working. In Philippians 2 verse 13, it talks about how it's God who works or energizes us both to will and to do for His good pleasure. And we're to do all these things in humility and humbleness, realizing that to God be the glory. Without Him we can do nothing. Living our lives for the worthy one, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. How can we pray related to the gospel? There are many aspects we see in the New Testament. We're just going to touch very briefly upon them. I don't have time to read all the verses, but there's a lot of study you could do on your own if the Lord leads you based on the notes you have in your handbook. We can pray that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest and be willing to go. We can pray that the Lord will save souls. In 1 Timothy 2, we are exhorted to pray for all people. And it's in that same passage that the Lord says he desires for all to be saved. I believe that's one of the reasons we're to pray for all people, is because the Lord wants them to be saved. We can pray that the Lord will open doors for the gospel. Did you know that when I pray that the Lord will open doors for the gospel and I watch, I tend to make use of more opportunities to share the gospel? I encourage you to make that a habit in your life, in your personal life, and also, not only in your personal life, but also in the local assembly. These are things that you can be praying for to help the assembly to be focused on the need of going out with the gospel individually and collectively and watching for the opportunities God provides and seeking to make use of them. We can pray for open doors for the gospel. We can pray for the Lord to open hearts to receive his word, like the Lord did with Lydia in Philippi. We can pray that God's word would run swiftly and be glorified as it was among the Thessalonians. We can pray for clarity in proclaiming Christ. Many of these were things that Paul himself requested prayer for. And if Paul requested prayer for those things, it's good for us to request prayer for those things too, isn't it? It's good for us to be praying for these things within the local church because really we need God's help. And it's good for us to pray for physical needs within the assembly prayer meeting, but it's also needful that we pray for the spiritual things, for the spiritual growth of believers, and that we'd be used of the Lord as God desires in reaching out with the gospel. We can pray for wisdom to redeem the time, to buy it up and use it for the glory of God. And before I forget, just in case it would be helpful to you, I do have these notes in digital format, and if you'd like a copy of the notes, which actually are even more detailed than what you're seeing on the screen, Lord willing, I could get those to you. Just give me your email address afterwards, and Lord willing, we can send those to you. We can pray that the Lord would give us gracious, salty speech, wisdom in sharing his word. We can pray for utterance, that God would give us the specific words to speak and to know how to respond in each situation. We can pray that the Lord would open our mouths with boldness and courage to make known the mystery of the gospel. We can pray for divine appointments, that God would provide special opportunities for us to share the gospel with others, even with individuals who are ready to respond. We can pray in faith, believing, and in everything, giving thanks to the Lord. A little over a year ago, the Lord led our family to be involved in some outreach in the panhandle of Florida. On a Wednesday night, I met a gentleman I'd never met before, but it was after much prayer that our family left New York, heading down towards the panhandle of Florida, believing the Lord had called us at least for a couple weeks to engage in some evangelism there and to see what the Lord might do. We visited a small assembly where there were less than a half dozen people in regular fellowship there. But that Wednesday night, one of the gentlemen I met there, I believe the Lord led me to ask him if he'd be willing to go out and share the gospel with me the following day. This gentleman was retired, but working three part-time jobs with more than full-time hours. But he said, yes, I would be willing, and I'll tell you why. And he said that less than a year earlier, he'd been involved in a car accident, a very serious car accident. And he realized that he could have died in that car accident. And as he was considering his life before God, he said that as he considered what had he done for the Lord in the 30 years or so of knowing the Lord, he felt like there was basically nothing he could tell the Lord that he'd done for the Lord. Now, I think there were things he'd done for the Lord. And he said up to that point, he'd shared the gospel with about two people during those 30 years of knowing the Lord. But as he was considering his life before God and realizing God must be calling him to something more than the way he'd been living, he was seeking the Lord regarding the purpose of his life. And during those 7 months or so between that car accident and when I met him, he'd shared the gospel, I think he said, with maybe about a half dozen to a dozen individuals. So he said, yes, I would be willing to go with you. And as we prayed about what to do, and I believe the Lord led us to go out door to door with the gospel that day, he said, yep, I'll go with you as long as you take the lead and you knock and you begin the conversation, and maybe eventually I'll want to start doing that myself. And so we went out and we began knocking on doors and offering people some good news, maybe something like this. Hi, this is some good news for you. This is a verse that comes out of the Bible. Have you ever seen this verse before? And it's John 3:16, and allowing them to read it, or maybe reading it with them, and beginning to go into sharing the gospel. After a few doors, I believe it was still that first day that we went out, he asked, can I knock on the next door? Because he realized with God's help, he could do it. And so during the next 2 weeks or so that we were there in that area, I believe it was at least a couple times per week that he and I went out sharing the gospel, oftentimes door to door and conversing with people on the streets. There was a young man working for a welder, contracted with a group working on the Air Force base, who professed to put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in front of his home that week. As we were sharing the gospel in a park, this is actually a picture where the Lord led us, I believe, to this particular park. We were seeking God's direction. Where does he want us to go? When does he want us to go there? And I was using one of these cards that day. I had one with me. It's a death life card. If you hold it one way, it says the wages of sin is death. If you flip it over, it says the gift of God is eternal life. The word in the middle changes from death to life. And so in that picture, I believe, or shortly before or after that picture, I was handing one of these cards through the fence for them to take a look at and to read it. And the Lord opened up opportunity to share the gospel with them. One was already a believer. The other was not yet a believer. I was able to ask the believer some questions, and as he brought out the gospel and then I maybe reinforced it, the other young man professed to put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that day. God is mighty. He's able to save souls. He wants to lead us and guide us in being his witnesses. Are we willing? Are we willing to say, Lord, here I am. Please use me. Guide me for your glory and honor. What are some biblical principles or practical pointers related to sharing the gospel? Number one, pray. Pray, pray, pray. God calls us to pray without ceasing. And in sharing the gospel, I believe that is essential. Oftentimes when going door to door sharing the gospel, if I'm going together with somebody else, usually we'll get together and we'll pray beforehand for the time. And then as we're walking up to a door, usually we'll be praying. As one person speaking, the other might be silently praying, their eyes open. The person may not know they're praying, but looking to the Lord for help. And after the conversation with them, when walking away from the door, often praying for the person we just spoke with, or for the people who live in the home, even if they didn't answer the door. Whether their response to the gospel at that time was positive or negative, you can use that opportunity for the glory of God by praying for them as you walk away. Having a spiritual impact, as it were, in their lives, interceding for them in prayer. We've spoke about some of these other aspects. There's the importance to seek to be led by the Spirit. And this brother in the panhandle of Florida, one of the reasons he wanted to go together sharing the gospel is because he wanted to know more of what the purpose of God for his life was. And he said it was a bit scary to him during those 2 weeks because we were going out doing something that he'd never done before. And he was a little concerned about, like, how is his life going to change as he submits and surrenders to the Lord to be the Lord's witness. Yet he knew it was what God was calling him to do, so he was also excited about it. And it was so exciting talking with him over the phone and getting together with him and hearing him say things like, you know, there's this coworker where I work and I've known them for 10 years, but I've never shared the gospel with them. Last night, I shared the gospel with them. So, you see, this individual was not young, but his life was transformed. And he'd been praying to know more of God's purpose for his life. We knew nothing about him, but the Lord, in his mercy, brought us from New York to encourage him. And he said the Lord did a deep work in his life during that time. And I spoke with him just a few weeks ago, and he said he's still sharing the gospel with people. The Lord can revive us, refresh us, use us for his glory as his witnesses. We should be friendly. We should be kind. We should be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can ask people questions that help to help them see their need for the gospel. We can seek to open the Bible and share with them from an open Bible, allowing them to read scriptures when possible, so they see it's not just what we're saying, it's the Word of God. One missionary lady mightily used of the Lord said that what she does is she said, I pray, meet people, and tell them about Jesus. Can you pray? Can you meet people? Can you tell them about Jesus? With God's help, you can. With God's help, we can. Oftentimes, a conversation could be as simple as, hey, how are you? Or maybe standing behind someone in the grocery store or walking by someone on the sidewalk. Hey, here's some good news for you. Here's good news about God's love for you. It can be something very simple, something that you feel comfortable with. When offering somebody literature, we can hold it out so that they can see it and read it. If you're on the sidewalk and you're wanting to pass out tracts, or in a park and you're wanting to pass out good news to people, is you watch for when they're coming towards you. Oftentimes, when someone's about 10 yards away, they will look up. And that's kind of a window of opportunity where you might be able to smile or say hello to them. And then as they get closer, say, here's some good news for you. And I found that's often the case. And if you don't take that opportunity, if you don't greet them, likely they might just look away and walk by as if you don't exist. But if you look for that opportunity to acknowledge them, to greet them, and to offer them good news, oftentimes that can be done. I didn't always understand that God can use tracts in a mighty way. But when I was on a mission trip back in around 1993, hundreds, thousands of tracts were passed out by the 100 or so people on that missions trip. And I saw that people would read them. And so when I got back home, I asked my parents if we could order some, and they said yes. And so we ordered some of those gospel tracts. And I started passing them out in New York, and I found that sure enough, a lot of people would take them. Like maybe even the majority of people. And many people would start reading them after I gave it to them. And all around the United States, and in, I think, pretty much every country I've been to, I've seen that kind of response, where people are willing to take it into their hands. Some are willing to read it, and God can save their souls. There was a man who was not a believer. He was working in a bar, playing music, and one night when he got there, somebody else handed him an envelope and said, somebody left this for you. He took it home that night and he read it. It was a gospel tract. He got saved. Do you believe that that gentleman believes that God can use gospel tracts in reaching people with the gospel? He sure does. He's written one. He passes out hundreds, probably thousands in his lifetime, because he knows the Lord can use them. Don't worry if some people don't receive it. I remember hearing the words during an evangelism training time as we were going to go out with the gospel, and the brother said, don't quit. Don't quit. And I remember when I was a student at the University of Buffalo, I wrote in my planner, on the top of the daily or weekly planner for several months. I wrote at the top, don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. As a student at the university, on my desk, I had, I think about a quarter of my desk in my dorm room was like an arsenal of gospel tracts, so that when I went out from the dorm room, I could have the gospel in hand and offer it to people when walking across campus or taking the bus between campuses. And the Lord provided many, many opportunities to share the gospel. So I encourage you, if you haven't started yet, start. And once you start, don't quit. Don't quit. Some transition questions that you could ask people to go from physical conversation about the weather or family or work are questions like, do you know what the purpose of life is? Do you have any sort of spiritual background? Do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? These kinds of questions are amazing. I mean, it's amazing how God can use them. I was on a missions trip in Northern Ireland, and a brother in the Lord encouraged us to use questions like that. Prior to that, when I was out sharing the gospel, like with the local assembly door to door, we would basically try and maybe in a minute and a half or 30 seconds, however long people would give us, to share the gospel until someone said, okay, thank you. Where do you go to church? Okay, thank you. Have a good day. And that was often how it went if someone was even willing to let us listen. But on this missions trip, this brother encouraged us to ask questions like, do you have any sort of spiritual background? Do you believe in heaven and hell? Do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? And those kind of questions, and then listening with love as people respond to those questions, it can help you to get an understanding of what people's spiritual background is. And as you show them that courtesy and that kindness of listening to them, and they see the love of Christ in that way, many times they become much more willing, it seems, to listen then to what you have to say and what you can share from the Word of God in answer to their spiritual needs. I was amazed there in Ireland where one time a conversation at someone's door, it was about an hour and a half long. And this was in like a heavily Catholic area where we were told that a lot of people are cold towards the gospel. But these kinds of questions can really help people to see their need and can lead in to sharing the gospel with others. A question I often like to ask people is, do you have a Bible of your own? And if they don't have one, then I like at times to try and have on hand maybe a New King James Version paperback Bible. You can get them for about $2.50. And oftentimes to offer one to the individual. If I need to run out to my vehicle to get it because I'm in the grocery store at the checkout line, I've often done that. And it's a way to get God's Word into people's hands. Usually I ask them if I were to give them a Bible, would they read it? And then I often encourage them to start reading in the Gospel of John. Of course, you could pass out Gospels of John or individual books from the Bible as well. If they say they have a Bible, I often ask them, how's your Bible reading been going? And usually the answer has been, well, I haven't read it very much recently. And so then you can encourage them to get reading the Word of God, encourage them to read in the Gospel of John. When I encourage them to read in the Gospel of John, I ask them to read the Gospel of John and look for the connection between believe and having eternal life. And helping them to see that it's through believing, putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can have eternal life. Let's touch briefly on church-wide evangelism. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, it records what happened in a time of great persecution. Saul was breathing threats and murder against the Christians. But what did they do? It says in verse 4, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere. And the Greek word is literally evangelizing, sharing the gospel, proclaiming the good news. Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They went evangelizing. If God was able to use the early church in the context of great persecution to go out with the gospel, can He lead you and I to do it today? He can. He can. the church in Thessalonica about them. It says, "For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place." Church-wide evangelism, events like Vacation Bible School, children's clubs, park outreaches where the church might get together and pray together and then go out in the community with the gospel door to door, or going to a park or going to a downtown area, passing out tracts, asking people questions, looking for opportunities to share the gospel with people. It's a tremendous opportunity to encourage the body of Christ in evangelism. If someone has the desire for something like that to take place, what can you do? Well, you can prayerfully initiate. You can be praying that God would help your local assembly to be more involved in evangelism. And then as you're praying, the Lord might lead you to go and speak with maybe one of the elders that you, feel an affinity to, that you're comfortable communicating with, or ask if you could share with the elders at one of their elders' meetings about this desire you have to see the assembly more active in evangelism. And to ask if they might, you know, be willing to pray with you that the Lord would lead the assembly to be more evangelistically engaged. Maybe there's an idea the Lord puts on your heart related to an evangelistic outreach. You could share that with the elders and ask them to be praying as to whether the Lord might lead something like that to happen. And then seek to be willing to humbly submit to their leadership. But certainly God can use us as individuals reaching out with the gospel and encouraging one another in the body of Christ to do so as well. I believe one of the nice things about church-wide evangelistic events is that as we're involved in those, it can help us to develop a greater comfort level in sharing the gospel so that we then realize that we can do it in our personal lives as well. When I was involved in sharing the gospel together with some believers up in, I believe it was Michigan or Wisconsin one time, there was a gentleman, we were going out sharing the gospel and then making some follow-up visits to individuals, and pretty soon he said, I realize this isn't so hard. I've started sharing the gospel with people through his work as well. He had his own business and he was seeing the Lord opening doors for the gospel there. And so, church-wide evangelism events can help us to then be more active in personal evangelism. There are many ideas of church-wide evangelistic events. I believe in your notes you may have included some of those ideas at some point within there. Here on the left-hand side was a family fun day. I think that was in North Carolina, where they rented an inflatable. They set up different games and activities for children. And then at various points during the day, they stopped for about 15 minutes for a gospel presentation. And I believe that more than 100 people got to hear the gospel through events like that in North Carolina. There's an assembly. You might want to speak with a brother from, I believe it's Edmonds Lane Bible Chapel in Texas, that they did an event like that for the first time. I think it was more than 10 years ago. And they've been doing it every year since because they've seen how it can help to draw people out and provide a wonderful opportunity for sharing the gospel. On the other side is at a Vacation Bible School. Hurdles and hindrances to evangelism. We don't have much time to cover these, but prayerlessness can be a hindrance. How can that be solved? Praying. Lack of submission to the Lord, let's submit to the Lord. Lack of faith, let's believe God's promises. Fear of man, instead of fearing man, let's fear the Lord. And remember that He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. Desire to stay in our comfort zone, that can be a hindrance. But may we submit to the Lord and say, Lord, help me to go anywhere you want, to do anything you want, to say anything you want for your glory. Pride can be a huge hindrance. But we remember from God's word, He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So may the Lord help us, instead of being proud people like this world we live in, instead may we humbly submit to our God and live for His glory and honor. Ourselves decreasing, the Lord Jesus increasing, being magnified through our lives. Idolatry and distraction, that can be a huge hindrance to the gospel. May we allow the Lord to prune our lives, weeding out the things that we may have been doing that are are not redeeming the time for the glory of God so that we have more time to live for the glory of God and to do what our God calls us to do. Lack of personal time with the Lord can be a hindrance to sharing the gospel, but may we seek daily to spend time with the Lord, hearing from Him, and be ready to be His witnesses. There are many different gospel methods that can be used. Here there was some training being done, sharing with some children how they could use three ropes in sharing the gospel with others. On the other side, there's a paint board, some CEF songs, the scriptures being used as songs, many different ways that the gospel can be shared. If you have time later, I have a live TV broadcast where the Lord provided a unique opportunity to share the gospel, but we don't have time for that right now. Gospel resources. Some different gospel resources. Thank you, Nehemiah. Up here on the table, there are many different gospel resources. Some of them, there's only one. If there's only one, please do not take it, but you're welcome to look at it and to find out where you can get it from. With some of the resources, there are many of them. If there are many, it's okay for you to take one. The booklet called May I Ask You a Question? This is one of my favorites of all time. I may have first kind of heard this one highlighted at the Ezekiel Project, School of Evangelism, the Ezekiel Project. They use this one a lot. I like it because it goes through the gospel, it uses scripture, it explains scripture, it illustrates scripture, and it gives a very clear gospel presentation, and then encourages someone to respond in faith to the gospel. And then it also talks a little bit about Christian growth, what to do once you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is available through Evantel. They have a website, I believe it's evantel.org. If you've never seen or had this tract, I encourage you to order some or order some for the local assembly and to encourage the saints to use it. If you feel like you want to share the gospel with others, but you're not sure what to say, this gives you an outline that you could literally read with somebody, maybe answering questions or explaining a little more detail when necessary. At times, time might require you to zip by some of the things, just touching on certain points. But I've seen people apparently put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as this tract is basically read to them with maybe a little bit of other explanation given. Also, within the notes that I'd be willing to send you, an even more extended outline than what's in your notebook, I have detailed suggestions of using verses like Romans 3:23, 6:23, 5:8, Revelation 21:8, 1 John 5:12, John 1:12, and other verses. And I have questions there that you could use to ask somebody related to each of those verses that help to draw out a spiritual truth from that verse, apply it to the individual, and then transition to the next point in the gospel. And if you're seriously interested in sharing the gospel with others, and you want more examples of what you could say, obviously the way that's in those notes is not the only way to do it, but it's a way that might be helpful, and it's a way that could at least be a springboard towards getting into sharing the gospel with others. And in those notes, I also have examples of questions you could ask people, like one of my favorite questions, do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? I've probably literally asked that question thousands of times. And probably hundreds of times it's led into opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Do you know for sure if you're going to heaven? Because it instantly cuts in less than 30 seconds from the weather, work, family, whatever the conversation is, to the spiritual need of the individual. And then another question I sometimes ask people, depending on their response to that question and their openness, is, may I share with you from the Bible how God says you can know for sure if you're going to heaven? And then if they say yes, that's an opportunity to start opening the scriptures and going through the kinds of verses that I have in that more extended outline I mentioned, or in using a gospel tract like this one to kind of gently walk somebody through the gospel, but presenting these deep truths of their spiritual need as sinners, that what do we earn or deserve because of our sins? Death. Not only physical separation from God, but spiritual separation. And again, in that extended outline, it goes into much more detail. Where to evangelize? You can evangelize just about anywhere the Lord leads you to be. Of course, if you're in the workplace, as the Lord Jesus said, you need to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Depending on your workplace, maybe there'd be opportunity in the break room when someone's, you know, having coffee or something. Or maybe you meet someone at work and you invite them to get a coffee together outside of the workplace. You could evangelize it at parks, universities, on the streets. I believe in your notes there's a list of many, many ideas of where you could share the gospel. Again, you see, the Lord can use children. If He can use children, He can use you too. On the right-hand side, there's the gospel being shared at a university or a college campus. On the left-hand side, at a park. Here's another example. There's an assembly in Brooklyn, New York. They have a soccer outreach where they get a permit to use this soccer field in the middle of the city each Saturday for certain hours. They have this soccer tournament that lasts about 8 weeks. And each week before each of the soccer games, they take, I believe it's about 5 minutes to share the gospel with each team. And then at the end of the whole thing, they share the gospel with as many people as are willing to stay around. There's sharing the gospel with someone at their doorway. Oftentimes, it's in poorer communities where people are more open to the gospel, but this happened to be a very kind of well-to-do economically community, but again, the Lord provided an open door for His word. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Will you be involved? Our Lord's command is clear. I believe there's only one good way, right way for us to respond to our Lord's command. And that is to submit and surrender to Him and to be willing and ready to be His laborers going with the gospel, seeking like Paul did to serve the Lord with all humility, to be His witnesses. May the Lord help us to have a lifestyle of evangelism where we're not just involved in evangelistic events, but in our lives, we're watching for opportunities to share the gospel in seeking to allow the Lord to graciously use us for His glory. If you're looking for a resource for follow-up with children who've put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one that I believe it's in your notes. It's a booklet written by a brother from an assembly, and it's called, I believe, something like New Life. Yeah, there it is, New Life. Discovery Guide for Youth, a really good booklet if you can get a hold of that from Brother Craig Rollinger. His address is on one of these booklets up here. Again, many different kinds of things. I don't know if you've seen these before or not, but they're kind of like hologram gospel tracts. Moments with the Book has many good gospel tracts at good prices, which you could get some. Many other examples of gospel tracts up here. I'd encourage you, find some gospel tracts that you're comfortable with. And before you leave your home, there are probably certain things you're used to bringing. Maybe your wallet or your purse, maybe a cell phone, maybe your keys. But I encourage you, don't forget the gospel tracts, because that's a tool the Lord can use. Your key can help maybe to open the door to your home or office building. But a gospel tract can be used of the Lord to help with seeing a heart opened up in the Word of God entering in and an individual being born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't forget these keys when you leave your home. Remember your gospel tracts. The Lord is at work saving souls. Will He use you? Are you willing to be His witness, to live as His witness? Our time is fairly exhausted, or beyond it, but does anyone have any questions? We are going to have some prayer time in small groups here in this room. Sisters can pray together, brothers can pray together in groups of about five. I'll give one more opportunity if you have any questions that you'd like me to address right now. And if not, if you have questions that you want to ask afterwards, you could ask after the prayer time. Oh, may I just lead us in prayer before our brother comes back. Heavenly Father, please help each of us to be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to let you open our mouths and speak your word through us, that our Lord Jesus may be glorified, that people may come to understand and put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to be courageous. Help us to be bold. Give us courage and clarity in sharing the gospel, we pray. And Lord, we pray that you'd help every gathering of your believers to be more actively, collectively in sharing the gospel, as well as individuals. And Lord, we pray that Christ would be magnified through our bodies, that for each of us to live would be Christ, and to die, gain. We ask these things with thanksgiving in our Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Again, if you'd like any of those handouts, please come and give me your email address so that we can get that to you. And if there's a way even after today where you might have questions or want some encouragement related to sharing the gospel, Lord willing, we could be in communication. Our email address is in the booklet. The email address happened to go from one line to another, so just so you know, there's no dash in the email address. It's ericandalma@gmail.com. Thank you, and the Lord bless you.